me start with some poetry here real quick. Bury me smiling with G's in my pocket. Have a party at my funeral. Let every rapper rock it. Let the hoes that I used to know from way before, kiss me from my head to my toe. But that's not going to happen because I'm being cremated. Sorry. Give me a paper and pen so I can write about my life of sin. A couple of bottles of gin in case I don't get in. Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
Boy, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, June 18, 2025. That's 2 days after the birthday of our Lord and Savior Tupac Shakur. Today's episode is also rated R and F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was not meant for you. All right, okay, hey, shout out to all you listeners. Applaud yourselves. Because if you're my target audience, you likely spend days not taking time doing something nice for yourself. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! This is the podcast that B Black made. You know, I fucked that up. Seriously, welcome. Here's hoping I say something in this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com, chicken, is the website, and ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Bouge bleu, motherfucker. Today's episode, titled 275, I think I'm going to go with Life Goes On. If the spirit changes me, doesn't change me, it's going to be 275, Life Goes On. And I grieve moments that never came. But before we get to that, let's start with some Let's start with some quote and some randomness. On this podcast, we play sound effects. We love playing sound effects. But whenever you hear this.
So, you're a philosopher?
That's me going from the next item on my, I have this agenda, and so I'm going through to the next item. All right, so, let's start with some, hold on a second. Suspected spam. You know, I've been getting phone calls from Norwegian crews, because for those who forgot, oh man, I don't think I forgot, I told you who it was with, but, at the beginning of the year, I went on a cruise and I went through them, and of course they've been harassing a brother. I think it's them. They leave a voicemail, but I feel one day I'm gonna pick up and let the salesperson know that I ain't fucking spending a goddamn cent in your fucking country as long as that motherfucker is in office. I ain't stepping foot in your country. So I can end up in shit. Dude, I'm Haitian. What the fuck? I mean, like, my parents are Haitian, but knowing these Yanks, they're just Haitian. All right, throw them in the cell. And I won't survive in confinement, man. I will not. Yeah. And if they send me back to Haiti, oh my God, focus. Okay, Jesus Christ. Again, on this podcast, I tend to go off track, but I remind myself, it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. So, you know, I do what I do. All right, where was I? I told you the quotes. Yeah, let's start with some quotes. First one. You know, this one is I'm going to quote of the day. Simple quote of the day, and it goes, if you don't know the whole story, shut the fuck up. Actually, it's just, if you don't know the story, shut up. But on this podcast, we take it to the next level and say,
shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
Yeah, all right, okay. Remember, it's my goddamn podcast! And, yeah, you're the one who hit play. Don't make me blame the victim here. Okay, next quote. This one's a... I mean, not to say the last one was sincere, but this one is... I got this from... Sorry, from Black History Photos. And for some reason, I'm banned from it. But, you know, whatever. Fuck them. No, that's not true. I take it back. I'm sure it's a glitch in the Matrix or whatever. They had their reasons. But that's not the point. Point is, I am remembering Patrice Lumumba. And his quote goes, I would rather die with my head high, my faith unshaken, and a profound trust in the destiny of my people than live in slavery. They don't make them like that anymore. They don't make them like that. And I'm including myself. Look, I'm just inspired by that quote. But yeah, and remembering how they don't make them like that. This next quote goes simple. It goes, grief is the price we pay for love. It's in connection with today's theme or today's theme. Yeah, overall theme for this today's episode. And it will make more sense as I will progress. But with that, this concludes. We're done with quotes. Let's jump into some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, step one. All right, okay. So, again, on this podcast, we like to celebrate victories, small and small or big, but usually, you know, they're usually small. And in the nation's capital, it's currently, let me just weather report. God damn, it's 30 plus degrees. Shout out to you people in Vegas or in places where it's way hotter than this going and, yeah. God damn. All right. Okay. Just claim up what's going on. Okay. It's 31 degrees Celsius for you Yanks. Do the conversion. But it feels like 33 degrees. And I'm looking down at, okay, it didn't chill. So Thursday is going to be 27 degrees. It's going to be rainy. I can handle that. 24 degrees, 28 degrees. But on Monday, next Monday, it's too early to think about Monday, but I will. It's going to be 36 degrees. Fuck what you heard. Climate change is real, kids. But anyway, that's not the point. My point is, it's hot out there, and I finally got around to setting up my AC, my AC unit. Yay! You know what that's called, kids? Being an adult. The reason why I'm making a big deal out of it is too. One is, so turns out these portable AC units, you're supposed to maintain them. Like, you know, I'm one of those people when I get a new device, motherfucking instruction manual. And then, so I don't know. I guess maybe it's because of AI. I'm like, what am I supposed to do I'm taking out my AC unit out of storage. What am I supposed to do? Whatever. So the filter, yo, I had these things for a while. Filter had not been clean since the Obama administration. So there was a lot of dust. So I had to like vacuum and then I had to like actually clean it with soap. And it was a lot of fucking work. That's why I'm making a big deal out of it. And the other thing I did too is the part of the instruction manual that I didn't read is when you put it against your window, panel. Again, this is a portable device, not the AC you put in your windows. But when you put, you're supposed to put foam around, you're supposed to create like a seal so air doesn't escape. And let's just say this motherfucker is working. It's like it's looking at me like, oh shit, I can breathe. Another thing I didn't know is apparently there's like water. Shout out to you people laughing at me. Fuck y'all. You know what I mean? Hoping you're laughing with me, not at me. But whatever. Fuck it. Whatever. It's, where was I? Yeah. You're supposed to. You're supposed to, there's like a little hole nozzle in there, and then you're supposed to empty the water. It accumulates water and shit like that. It explains why it's all sticky and shit. Man, whatever, whatever. But I did all the work like a grown up, and now it works. Yay! You know what? In my mind, I kept picturing my, because my mind sometimes it's like my biggest enemy. I kept picturing the know-it-alls. The know-it-alls were like, you didn't know that? You're so stupid. You know what I mean? But then I pictured the shout out to you people who are like, oh, I did not know that. Oh, thanks, B. But it was a lot of fucking work. I have a neighbor who wants me to help her with in setting up her AC unit. And I'm like, fuck that. That's a lot of work. Holy shit. Like, I would probably get a divorce. If her and I were, like, married, yeah. So, yeah, can you help me with the device? Because you're a real man. I'm like, divorce. Fuck that. Hell no. Well, I'm not a real man. I'm just starting out as an adult. Whatever, man. But, another thing that I learned that I realized, because I have this AC unit. You're not going to hear it because I'm using, I'm going to use a, what's that thing called? Is it a compressor? There's a thing in my DAW, the software I use to edit these podcasts, and there's a way you can filter out that background noise. And so the AC unit is going on, but yeah, you know what helps? Closing the fucking door of the room that you're in. It's chill in here, man. I'm not complaining. But shout out to me, man. One more time. Shout out to me for one being an adult. And getting up and getting the fuck, get up, get out, and get something. Yay! I'm feeling myself. All right, okay.
So you're a philosopher?
Yeah, I do say all right, okay, a lot. I notice that when I'm editing, and I annoys the fuck out of me. But when I try not to do it, it annoys the fuck out of me. It's a no-win situation. I mean, sure, it would be better content for you listeners, but it's, c'est frustrant, si, c'est frustrant. Okay, bon, prochain item. I was debating on covering this shit. So, the Minnesota shooter, he's hoping you're like, hold on a second. Is my target audience people who don't cover the news to preserve their mental health, or people who are as messed up as I am? Sorry. Okay, I should mute my phone. I got ADD, man. I gotta focus me. Okay. I'm gonna assume you're the latter, that you are aware. If not, you'll look up the information. But the shooting that happened in Minnesota, I believe two politicians were killed. And so the label goes, this is a post I saw on Reddit, it goes, Minnesota shooting suspect Vance Bolter, that's his name, is an anti-abortion, anti-LGBT Christian extremist. And the real reason why I'm sharing this, because it's close to home, the clip, which you can, if you want, for your own entertainment, listen to, is a clip of him at a church standing next to a black woman who is translating what he's saying in French. And the reason I'm sharing with you is because I don't know if trigger is the word I want to use, but it set me back from memory lane when I was a humble servant in my dad's church. I considered myself a humble servant. That's not the point, but I was, I used to volunteer. I would help my dad out with, my dad's a preacher, by the way, and and I was the sound technician, and I remember I would just go out of sheer guilt. That's not the point. My point is, seeing him on stage with this black woman translating, it reminded me of those moments when my dad would have guests at his church, and sometimes we'd have translators, right? Because again, Haitian church, you know, they would speak in French and you translate in French. But that's not the point. Reason it hit home is because it wasn't uncommon to have a guest Could be a guest, or could even be people who walk through the door of the church, and to be like, to give me the heebie-jeebies, to like, what the fuck, or just like, not like the person. There's something about their aura that was like, something is up with you. But my parents, they raised me on this idea of, hey, shut the fuck up, man. Just swallow that shit. Whatever your gut feeling is telling you, swallow that shit and be polite. And I, because it was very frequent, you'd have people walk in talking about, yeah, I talked to Jesus regularly. I mean, like face to face. And he told me you need to play these winning lottery numbers. And so I was really on the idea of being like, hey, 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 yeah. Sister, whatever the fuck your name is. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay, all right. I'm just going to smile and, you know, not make any sudden movement and back away from this conversation. Pray for you, sister. You know what I mean? And shit like that. It was often to be around people that is the word on the spectrum. I don't know, but like, not just, it's not necessarily on the spectrum, but something was off about them. I'm not saying they were murderers, but I am saying, shame on my parents for letting some your children around these people. But whatever. My parents, whatever, man. It's like, hey, they're white. How can they be wrong? Jesus was white. What the fuck? Anyway, so didn't know any better. So I'm thinking about this dude, and he reminds me of every motherfucker who's crossed that path, who's walked into our church, and I had like to fake smile, fake pretend the love of Jesus to these people. And And I'm thinking of this one dude in particular. I'm giving you this whole long story, but only to be able to recall this memory of this one motherfucker who came to our church. He actually came, this dude, he came from some buttfuck nowhere Quebec. I don't know, some city in Quebec. Forget which one, but it doesn't matter. And he showed up with another pastor, a black pastor. And, the black pastor was someone that he was well-known. He was well-liked by the community, but I don't know. I guess he started hanging out with some crazy white folks because these motherfuckers were on agenda to lecture. And remember, this is a Haitian church. And these motherfuckers came on a mission to lecture Haitians about practicing voodoo in a fucking Christian church. Now, if you've been to a Haitian Christian church or Catholic church, most of them, have been brainwashed into the idea of voodoo is bad. So they're the last person you need to talk to about voodoo. That's point one. But this motherfucker, oh man, like I'm really recalling memory. I feel like I'm talking to my therapist right now. And but anyways, yeah. So this one motherfucker, I still remember, he was like, I'm going to say it in English. I'm not going to say it in French, but he I'm going to translate. Essentially what he was saying is, Haiti is the realm of Satan. And the idea is, if Haiti is a shithole, it's because they won't let go of that voodoo shit. And because they don't let go of that voodoo shit, Satan is chilling in Haiti. White boy said that. I remember I remember being so conflicted. My pro-black Haitian side was like, chop his head off with a machete. By the way, guys, I'm not a violent person. I'm just emotional, and I just speak. It's the emotions you're hearing, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm just saying that's how I speak, right? I'm not a violent person. I use picture violence to express emotions. I know it's extreme, but I'm trying to meet you halfway, but I'm trying to express myself on my goddamn podcast. All right, okay. So half of me was like, coupe tête boule caille, you know what I mean? It's like, yo, man, chop this white man's head off. Fuck that white boy off. And another part was like, my mom and dad was like, hey, calme-toi, okay, 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 pose tes fesses. Calme-toi. I mean, relax. You know, whatever your parents would tell you to not act out in front of family. So I remember holding back while halfway, because I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm not speaking up about this. I can't remember what I said, but it didn't come out. It came out softly. It's like, hey, don't be saying shit like that around here. And I remember a homegirl, she was there, you know, and she's the speak up type, but she was polite. She was like civil about it. I can't remember what she said, but I remember her like speaking up, and I get the feeling the white boy goes like, okay, I guess these niggas aren't civilized. So I gotta watch my mouth. This ain't like the good old days. Anyways, but to this day, I'm still angry at that moment. I am bothered at the fact that when I brought up to my dad, and I gotta tell you, my dad, you know, peaceful dude and shit like that. When I brought up to my dad, he was like, whatever, what are you gonna do? And shit like that, you know? But I really wanted to hear like, yo, this motherfucker's never setting foot in this fucking, in this church again. I'd rather go to hell. What's that line by Kendrick? Before I set a truce, I take him to hell with me. Fuck that, dude. But yeah, anyway, okay, focus, man. I think the only point that I'm making is, one, not surprising that the Minnesota shooting victim was a practicing Christian. They used the word Christian extremist, but I am not surprised that he was a practicing Christian, especially, and he spoke in a black church. Yeah, man. You know what I mean? Like this motherfucker, a la, what's his name? Dylan Roof. It's like, because the other reason why I'm pissed off is I used to have this tendency. I don't know if it's the empath, if it's the highly sensitive, whatever, or the brain. Well, it's all three combined, right? But I used to remember that whenever a white person would come to our church, I went out of my way to make them feel comfortable because I didn't want them to feel the same way I felt when I walked into a white church. And, you know, but no, it's okay. Not just a white church, but a white church where you can sense that it's like, you niggers lost? The black people services later. Sorry, hide your daughters. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember how much I invested in, making them feel comfortable. And I remember when that white dude did what he said, when that white dude said what he said, I was like, oh, wow. How am I going to make this white person feel comfortable and express what I want to say about what he just said? And whatever. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's all. I'm realizing I'm going over time into, but it's my goddamn podcast. So, let's jump to, that's all I want to say. So again, not surprised. And, add this to the long list of reasons of why I'm now a former Christian.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay. All right. What else we got? Next is, I'm going to end, you only got two. I'm going to end this randomness with, talking about Pac's birthday. But before I get to that, one last thing is, I'm going to talk about Kendrick and then Pac. All right. So right now in this segment is, one, Kendrick Lamar finished his tour. I talked about it in the last episode. He came to Toronto, not just Canada, he came to Toronto, you yanks. All right. Canada's a big ass country. I know a lot of y'all. Excuse me. You know what I'm doing? I'm like, we remember the names of your cities. Why don't you do that for us? You know, and if you're an American, you're saying, because I don't have to. Bow the fuck down. And why aren't you the 51st state? Right. And that's exactly why I'm not fucking traveling to your goddamn country. All right. Wow. I you know what's wild is I used to be a huge fan of the United States, but God, shout out to Trump for like magically changing that. Holy fuck. I like Russia better than... No, that's not fair. If it wasn't for the black Americans, United States would be like at the bottom. Like, I don't miss... Okay, focus. Let's get back. Right, okay. So, Kendrick came to town, and the big news around town is how Jackmeet Singh, who is a Canadian politician, he was the leader of the NDP, but I'm not mad at him. But it's not just that he was a Canadian politician, but he was like well-liked. He was a well-liked, you know, sure, the NDP didn't do well, but he was on the list of politicians that most of us, or people like me, had high regards for. Not just because he was a Sikh, not just because he was leader of the opposition, but he just, he's one of those people who would say shit that you would, okay, that's something you could quote, but he was a well-liked dude. There was a time he even had a TikTok. I don't know if he's doing it, but he did TikTok because he reached the youths. The youths. Did you say youths? Yeah, that's right. Youths. And so the news around town is how homeboy went to attended the Kendrick Lamar concert, and this is too funny. God damn, man. That dude sucks at lying. But he's a fucking politician. So he attended the Kendrick concert. Word is, word got to Drake's ears, and Drake is like, feelings got hurt, so he accused him of being anti-Semitic. Okay, no, that's not true. But wouldn't surprise, but Drake apparently insulted Jack Meat Singh for attending his concert. I mean, he's less pissed that he attended the concert, but more allowed himself to be recorded, to be viewed at the concert. But fuck that, Nick, man. Shit. Anyway, so word got to Drake. Drake's feelings, Drake's expressed, I'm not sure what he said. I think they call him a goof. I don't know what, but he dissed him for attending the concert. And then Jack Meat, is that true Canadian fashion? Again, I gotta remember, he is a well-liked dude, but this nigga, Jack Meat posts on Instagram, he says, it's hard for me to read. It's a little cringe, all right? He goes, I went for SZA, not Kendrick. Okay, no disrespect to SZA. I mean, you know, a talented artist and shit like that. But when I was thinking of going to see Kendrick, I was going to see Kendrick. you know, come on, fucking R&B, whatever. I'm not your target audience, homegirl. I'm saying this because I just read a headline about how SZA was nervous about doing the show. She was worried that people came to the show just to see him, not her. I don't know if she thought people were going to boo her until, like the Sandman, get her off stage, and whatever. Like the Apollo Sandman, get her, you know, whatever. And, okay, getting back. Yeah, so again, I'm reading what he said. He goes, I went to see SZA, not Kendrick. I was born in this city. I love this city. Talk about Toronto. But real talk, I get it. I shouldn't have gone at all. OVO and Drake have lifted up the city and Canada. For me, I'll always be Kendrick over. I'll always be Drake over Kendrick. Bullshit, man. That's some bullshit. Look. He, all fairness, yes, Drake did achieve a success level that most of us Canadian hip hop fans only could dream of. Never thought it was possible. I'm from that generation. Maybe now it's common, but I remember growing up and we were like rooting for Maestro Fresh West. I remember we were excited when Maestro did a jam, we did a track with, not Lord Finesse, what was his name? What's the name of that song? There's no way I'm like, a little Canadian history, Canadian hip hop history for you. Fine Tune the Mic, and it's not the first time I brought it up. Fine Tune the Mic. Lord Finesse? No, that's not it. Maestro Fresh West, song by, okay, and it's a dope ass song. It's one of my favorite songs by, I play it now, but I don't want to get, Diamond D! Diamond, and I didn't even read it. Okay, let me make sure I got it. It's Diamond D, right? No, oh my god, I... Showbiz and AG, excuse me. Right, the producer, dope ass B. Fine Tune the Mic, engineer, want you check. Anyway, whatever, man. So I remember when, Jesus Christ, this is a long time ago. Fuck. This was days when people would go to concerts without phones. If someone got it on video, they were rich as fuck. Or it was like some corporate, focus me. All right, where was I? Yes. Maestro. I remember when Cardinal Official appeared on a video with, more than a lot of American rappers with the Clips. Who's the other rapper who, I really need to remember this. Socrates. There we go. Socrates. Look, it was a big deal for a Canadian rapper to be recognized by an American rapper, right? Oh, Muzayon. I know my history, man. Look, remember, I grew up on TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. Muzayon, I believe they did a track song with Wyclef. Either way, they were acknowledged. They did something together. Wyclef Jean. There's more, but it was a big deal. So Drake achieved a level of success that was a big deal. We were all like, what? He's Canadian? That was a big deal. But then, and you know, being the sensitive rapper, whatever, I was riding with him on that. But then homeboy took a left turn. And he had every opportunity to do for Canada what Kendrick did for Compton, for the West Coast. And essentially is he put him on the map. Now, sure, okay. You know what? Okay, because I can see that I feel like this is a barbershop conversation going on, and I can hear the counter arguments going against me. It's because yes, I do remember that moment. Yeah, I talked about it in the last episode. I do remember I was proud of him when he went on SNL and brought Toronto Lingo on there. Yes, there was that moment. But everything after that, it felt more like I'm watching this video. It's all about I'm rich, you're broke. I get bitches, you don't. It just felt like the music just wasn't inspiring. It was something to dance to, but it wasn't inspiring. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Look. Let me be clear. I'm saying the lane that Drake picked is not the kind of lane as a rapper. Is the kind of lane that, yeah, sure, bank accounts, win Grammys, but it doesn't do shit for the rest of us. Like making, you know, it's like as an artist, what makes us cool? Like create an anthem that we could dance to. Like when Let Your Backbone Slide comes up in clubs, we're like, yeah, that's our guy. Drake does not have a single song that makes me say, yeah, that's our guy. It's like, no, that's him. He's just a rapper. He's just whatever. So I guess I'm disagreeing with Jack Minson about putting Canada on the map. He put himself on the map. Toronto, the least liked Canadian city by Canadians. Is that up for debate? Is that it? Is that fuck it. I'll say it. I'm gonna get myself in trouble. I'm very likely, God forbid, I run for election, but I'm gonna lose elections. I might even get jumped. But fuck it. Nah. Toronto, look yourself in the mirror. The least liked Canadian city. It's a great city, don't get me wrong. But all of us have like fucking kind of sentiment about like, and fuck the Leafs. Okay, all right. Wow, man. Now I'm making it personal. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I might have to edit that part out. No, I'm not. All right, okay. All right, so I'm laughing. Oh, and here's the real punchline in all this about Jack Minson's apology. Oh boy, there's a video of you enjoying yourself during the Kendrick set. That shit's so fun. Anyways, links are in the show notes. You can check it out yourself. You'll read the apology. But look, man, I understand Jack Mean is being like, yo, he's my homeboy. I want him to not feel bad about the fact that I attended the concert. But on the other hand is, fuck that, man. Tell him to fucking be an adult about this shit. Accept the fact, like, dude, you took an L. The best thing you could do is plan, plot, and strategize. Puck said that. Or at the very least, look, man, the best you can do is exactly what Jay-Z did after the beef with Nas. But instead, you're like, he's the not that great. Why the fuck you still like this control verse, man? It's like, fuck, I'm embarrassed. Oh, and no. The worst thing he's done as a Tupac stan, is desecrate his memory, disrespect his memory. He acted like a white girl going in foreign country, standing on secret land, taking selfies. Like, hey, it's cute, whatever, to my homies. What? Your ancestors died here? Oh, that's cool. Selfie. You know what I mean? Shit like that. I was disgusted. So speaking of Pac, next randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Final randomness. All right, okay. So on this June 16, 1971, Earth was blessed by the birth of our savior, Tupac Shakur. He ain't my savior. Off with his head. All right, okay. If you can't tell, I'm a huge Pac stan. His music spoke to me. But that's not the point. That's not just the point, but it's just, I just like to do that. This is probably the first year I didn't acknowledge his birthday in social media. I don't know. Things are different. Yeah, because I'm trying to limit my time on social media. But that's not the point. But yeah, anyways, happy birthday, Pac. He would have been 54 years old. He was 4 years older than me. Honestly, between you and me, I missed the memory of Pac, but I am a negative person. But what I was gonna say is I'm scared of who he would have been at 54, or what I would have found out. Like Bill Cosby, man, that dude, had he died after the Cosby Show, he'd be a legend. I don't know, would he be a legend? People would bring up, I don't wanna know. Hold on a second. Is that what I'm trying to say? What would I found out about him? No, you know what? No, Chris Watt made the joke about how if Pac was alive, you know, we don't know. Homeboy might have turned Republican on us. So I'm just saying I respect the 25 years he was around. I cherish it. And I'm not going to speculate on because I'm a negative person. I'm not going to speculate on who he would have been at 54. I'm just going to say that I appreciate those 25 years he lived among us. Those 25 years he shared his talent, his music, and inspired people like me to continue to exist while black. I will forever be grateful for it. Right. You know what? If I bring back this about Drake, is like, as much as I'm talking shit, I will always acknowledge, as angry as I am at the dude, but I will never take away the fact that his accomplishments as a Canadian rapper. That I'm not gonna see. Fuck, see. Grand Zikal, yes. Sorry, okay. All right. But yeah. Happy birthday. So yeah, the only reason I'm respecting his memory is because acknowledging his and respecting his memory is because I'm thinking of, on God, I'm ready to double the wage. I'd rather do that than let a Canadian nigga make Pac turn in his grave. I actually rehearsed that before this episode. But all right, okay. So that's it.
So you're a philosopher?
Let's jump to feature thoughts, all right? Because I know a lot of you are like, what the fuck are we grieving? But yeah, before we do that, we are going to take a quick break. Okay, Be Black, what did I tell you about recording on an empty stomach? Here I am. Yeah, here I am. Okay. All right, let's just get to the fucking point. How am I going to introduce this clip? Okay, first, let me, I'm going to play the clip on TikTok that inspired today's feature thought. I'm fighting the urge to overexplain, but I remember watching it, and it lingered in my mind. I'm like, shit. All right, so you're going to hear two voices, just to set it up. because this is not a video podcast. It should be, but it's not a video podcast. But just to set it up, or if you want to click the video and watch it before, and then, but whatever. Just get set it up is you're going to hear two voices. The first person just talks about the point of life, and the second person is stitching the video, right? Is responding to what the first voice is saying.
And you sleep, and then you take care of yourself. Like, what's the end goal?
There isn't one. There is no end goal. You don't have some massive rush of dopamine coming because you won life. Those people who say it's the journey, not the destination, they're right. That is how it works. As a neuroscientist, that is exactly how your brain works. It is all journey, no destination. There's no you win life, you figured it out, you got the point coming. So you either cultivate joy and gratitude within your current life, or if you're unhappy with the day-to-day, you change it. You make it into a journey that you are going to enjoy. Think about it this way. If you knew there was no finish line, because there isn't, what would you want your life to look like? What would you want your day-to-day to be? This is it.
Maybe I should have a sound for like, for making me think. I'm looking at all my sound effects.
Message!
That was deep, right? Let it marinate. Do you need time to marinate? All right, well, hit pause and take some time to marinate. But the next thing I'm going to play, shout out to, if you've seen The Wire, you've probably made the connection to what I'm saying here, right? I remember hearing that and saying, oh, fuck. The words of Lester Freeman are making way more sense. And what words are those?
A life, Jimmy. You know what that is? It's the shit that happens while you're waiting for moments that never come.
Message!
It's the shit that happens while you're waiting for moments that never come. Shit's making me emotional, man. So where am I going with all this? Where am I going with all this, B? And this is where I meant by I'm grieving. I'm thinking the two clips together, and it had me thinking about what's your moments? What's your list of moments that never came? And I'll give you mine. I'll tell you mine and send me on memory lanes. I made a list and I'll speak on not all of them. But when I was junior high, I believe, before high school, I was convinced I was going to be a super DJ. Yes, I even bought the equipment. I was going to be like, I was just, but that's what I was focused on. That was my dedication. Okay, I won't even talk about my basketball. I failed basketball career. But I remember I was going to be a great DJ, bought the equipment and super producer and all that shit. And that didn't work out because DJ equipment cost a lot of money back in the days. Oh, yeah. Back then we had vinyls and two turntables and shit. It was just expensive. And it didn't work out. My DJ career didn't work out. I also thought that I was talking about Drake earlier. Back in the day, I used to be in high school. Excuse me, I used to be part of a rap group called Total Darkness. That's where I got my name, B Black, and I why? Cause you were all dark skinned niggas. No, cause we were pro black as fuck. Anyways, I love that name. But still, I remember aspiring to be. I remember aspiring to be. My dreams of being, so picture Drake, because that's funny that I think about it. My younger self, if we were having this guy, his feelings would be hurt right now. The fuck you laughing at? Anyway, so I was hoping I'd be the first black Canadian conscious rap. And I had song, and I'd have rap songs like, I'm black, how black, black, blacker than black. So black, the whitey gets a heart attack. The fuck you laughing at? I'm serious. Yeah, but I was dead serious. Anyway, right. Okay. But no, let's be serious. All right. But I'm trying to get a bit. Graduation. I'm thinking about. See, it's one thing. I remember when not just graduated from high school, but graduated from college. It wasn't. I remember how focused I was on graduating. And that was what I had all my faith in. And there was times where I was like, it's not going to happen. Now, it's one thing to have a goal. Maybe I'm not looking at it right, but I remember how feeling like it wasn't going to happen. I was like that fear. And then finally, when I graduated, I forgot how it felt like something that wouldn't happen. And once it happened, it's like I never stopped to give myself credit for. I know. I'm straying, right? I'm going away, but I just what I'm not focusing on actually what Lester Freeman and the original content creator. Holy shit! I forgot to give you her name. Her name is Nina Nesdali. Burnout. What's that about? CA California burnout? And whatever. Sorry. I know that's not the point they were making, but I still remember how never stopping to be like, B, you made it. Tap yourself on the shoulder. Like, it's like after, it's like the second after I got graduated, I went back to being like, yeah, you're an idiot. You're not going to make it. It's, you know, you're not going to, okay, sure, you achieved this, but you're not going to achieve, you're next. Your next quest. But that's not the point. Okay, let me look. Okay. I'm gonna moments that never came. Because graduation did happen, but that's not the point I'm trying to get at. But let me get focused on being an adult. How everything was gonna be alright once I become an adult. Or how my quest was to get my shit together. One day I'm going two things, right? I remember believing that one day I was aspiring one day, it's okay to fuck up now because one day I'm going to get my shit together, my finest together, and I won't worry about this kind of stuff. Or I always expected that one day I'm going to find my one and only and everything is going to be perfect. It's going to be all right. I'm thinking about this one girl in particular in high school, how I, was it high school? No, whatever, early 90s, but I really had a thing for. I was obsessed with this girl. With this one. I say girl because we were fucking young. And, sorry, here's what fucked up, right? She pretty much told me, I wasn't hearing it, I couldn't hear it. But I remember she pretty much told me, dude, I just like you as a friend. There's no interest. But I couldn't, in my mind, I was like, oh, she's just playing hard to get. My mind, I was like, what would Pepe Le Pew do? What would Pepe Le Pew do? Not give up. Now, I'm not saying I did illegal shit. Well, the worst part in here was not listen to her when she said, I am not interested. But I was just persevering. I remember, like, doing everything I could, like all I needed to do was do one nice gesture. I'm just one nice gesture away from her seeing me as a potential partner, as a romantic partner. I was just one nice thing away. So yes, I was the quote unquote nice guy, but I remember that's all I could focus on. That's all I could get myself to believe. Then one day, when it finally happened, when I finally understood that, she was serious. Oh, you were serious. But, okay, my point is, I remember believing that was the end game. Her and I in a relationship, that's all that mattered to me. And fuck work, fuck everything else, fuck my career, fuck even college, fuck graduating. That's all that mattered. And then when reality struck, I'm like, oh, snap. Guess what I saw? A fella thong kissing my girl on the mouth. But I'm not talking about the heartbreak, but I am thinking about the belief that this was it. One day we're gonna get together, and and live happily ever after. That's my point. I didn't have a life. My whole life was attaining this, making this thing that was never going to be real become real. But yeah, man, my one and only. Oh yeah, and I remember a career working at Napster, but I didn't put that much effort into it. But okay, let me get back to this. It's the two things that I'm thinking about is one, those moments that never came, those shit that I aspired to, like getting my life in order, getting my, sure, I've made improvements, but it wasn't the end game. Like it wasn't, I was still faced with more. Trials and tribulations. Okay, what really, really got me to think about this is on a previous episode, I may have talked to you about at work, how I got assigned to this new project. And I was laughing at the idea of I'm assigned to a new project, and the one dude that's assigned to help me with the one dude assigned to my highest tech guy I was supposed to rely on to get this project done. This motherfucker is saying it can't be done. And I remember thinking, how the fuck do you answer that interview question? Your top tech guy is saying, I don't know what the fuck management told you. It can't be done. And I'm like, but they already cashed the check. We're already assigned to it. But anyways, fast forward. It got done. It finally got done. I won't go into the details, but we did it. And we even beat the odds. But I remember after that moment, going from it's not going to happen to after that moment, I remember believing that if we achieve this, I'm finally going to have high regards for myself. My self-esteem issues will finally be resolved. I will be a success story. I'm going to have this perfect resume and shit like that. We achieved it. Days later, I'm back to being like, yeah, you suck. I mean, yeah, sure, you got lucky. The only reason you did it, it wasn't skill set or whatever. But I'm the same old beating myself down guy was still there, never disappeared. He just showed up to, okay, what else are you trying to accomplish? I know there's never going to be a day when, as much, I love this podcast. I love working on it, but it's not going to make me whole. There we go. I'm acknowledging that. I feel like I've developed the maturity of. I think the only. Because it's the journey, not the destination. I'm 50 years old. That shit is making more sense than it did yesterday. It's the journey, not the destination. And what I was about to say, the only time where it's like roll credit, it's at your funeral. When you die. I remember there was a time where I believed that, well, okay, maybe that's the good part about death. It's the one time where you roll credit. But the thing is, you're not going to be around to see the credit rolling. It just stops there. And it just had me think about when on Pac's track, the verse that I started with, the poetry, bury me smiling with G's in my pocket, have a party at my funeral, let every rapper rock it. Well, fuck that, man. Don't let these SoundCloud niggas rap at my funeral. but my favorite line is the last two verses. He goes, give me a paper and a pen so I can write about my life of sin, a couple of bottles of gin in case I don't get in, in case I'm stuck at heaven's gates. Trying to explain what it means to be. I don't know. I'm just has me thinking about here's hoping I die doing what I like. You know, credit rolls. You know, go down the blaze of glory. Blah 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 blah. Roll credit. Tony Montana from Scarface. Those are bad examples. All right, okay. Let's get back to the theme of what are your moments when you were a child you hope would come. Shit that you never did and got over it. that's why I brought up the girl, my failed rom-com situation, because I remember the day I realized that shit wasn't gonna happen. It took me a long time to get over it. It took me a while to get the fuck over it. But, and that's why I'm going with grieving. I mean, the grief is gone, but I remember those used to be moments that I used. The idea of grieving moments that never came to me also from conversation. A therapist brought up about grieving the parents you never had. It's like grieving the parents you wish you had but never had, like, let go of that. It's all about letting go, pretty much. Just letting go. That's for those who were confused what I meant by at the beginning of grief moments that never came. Is, yeah, get over it, man. I wanted to joke. I was going to put in the comments that joked about how sometimes these jokes aren't well interpreted. It's like, wait, what do you mean? When she said that, there is no, what's the point of life? There is no, like, all right, everything is all settled now. Now that I've reached the goal, now that I've reached the finish end, it roll credit. There is none of that. Except maybe a death. Fuck. I hate when I do that. I just blanked out. I had a really cool idea and I blanked out on it. Damn. Shit. I hate what I have. All right, whatever, man. Okay, all right. Well, here's hoping I'll probably save it for the next episode, because I'm blanking out and I'm trying to leave and I'm recording on an empty stomach. All right. Okay. All right. So let's wrap this up and think about what your moments that never came. It's really hard not to be kinky about this shit. Come, you said came, come, the past tense of come, whatever. All right. Okay. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. Thank you for allowing me to share with you. Thank you for hitting play. It's not just hitting play, but here's hoping, like I said, shit resonates. And if it does, holler at me. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast was a safe space for my thoughts, and they were protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you don't have done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.